Let me just take a moment right here to welcome all those who join us online to our online campus. Come on, everybody. Can we just give it up? Come on. We're so glad that you're here today joining us. And let me just say I'm really, really looking forward to all the things that you just heard on our Crosspoint News, especially small groups. Just want you to kind of already get oriented and prepared to be a part of our small groups. That's a huge part of what we do as a church. We're not just a church with small groups. We're a church of small groups, so I encourage you to be a part of that. And can I just extend that out beyond these walls you're watching online? You may not be a part of this church, but you can still be connected with our small groups. Those happen throughout our community here in this area. And in fact, you can start one yourself. If you don't have one that you would like to be a part of, it doesn't even have to be with this group of people you see right here. It could be with your coworkers. It could be with those that are on your ball team, whatever that looks like for you. And we can help you figure that out and connect with Pastor Steve. I encourage you to do that. He'll take you through a training of how you can do that. As Theron was saying in the announcement there, that it's easier than you think. So again, I want to encourage you with that. It is a game changer when you begin to pour into the life of someone else. And by the way, that is why we're here. We receive from God, and God blesses us, but we're not here just for ourselves. We don't exist just for ourselves. We exist for others, for others. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to be reminded of that. I actually had a moment yesterday, had a little pity party. You ever have a pity party? You know, and you send out invitations and nobody wants to come. You know, the only one that shows up is the devil. You know what I'm saying? And you just have a pity party. I was having a pity party. I called my wife and she wasn't much help. And I said, okay, I'll talk to somebody else. So I called my sister in Florida and she, you know, and everything. And so I poured into her and she was like telling me everything I was saying was wrong. And was just straightening me out, and it seemed like the enemy just comes against you and just sort of compounds things. You ever have that happen? Come on, am I the only one? Am I the only one that happens to? And God had to remind me that first of all, when you're throwing a pity party, you're really thinking about yourself most of the time, aren't you? Woe is me, my little pity party. And He reminded me that you need to get your mind and your focus on others. You know, it's not about you. It's about Jesus, and Jesus is about people, right? And so when we reorient our thinking, and I believe that we need to get our thinking right as we go into this new year, that we are here and we exist not for ourselves, but we exist for others. And I want to tell you, your problem will solve itself when you begin to do what God's called you to do. Your problem becomes, let me tell you, when you take care of God's business, right? You've heard me say this before. His business is our business. But as we take care of His business, then our business becomes His business, and He takes care of us. Amen? Anybody believe that? That's just free. There's no charge for that. I just, you know, that's not part of this message, but I just felt like I needed to share my heart this morning and just really focus us on really what matters, and we're here to serve and make a difference. I want to remind ourselves right up front of four things. We're here and we exist as a church because we want people to know God. We want people to find freedom. We want people to discover their purpose, and we want people then to make a difference for eternity's sake. That has not changed. That's who we are, and we exist for others. Amen. And to God be all the glory, to God be all the credit for everything accomplished in our lives. And I tell you, God's done a lot of phenomenal things at our church. We've seen many lives change. And I just love just hearing the one-on-one stories of lives that have been changed. But I am also looking forward to what God yet has in store for us in this year ahead. As I prayed in weeks leading up to this year, the Lord really, I believe, gave me a message, a series, this first series for this new year. I believe it's a very timely message. I believe it's a message that God really wants us to hear. And it has to do with us becoming vessels of honor. I want to just jump right into, you've got message notes there for you. It'll be up there on the screen for you. If you're watching online, you can download those. Just go to our website there, crosspointworshipcenter.com, and there you'll find, under the message there, you'll find the message notes that you can follow along as well. But I want to just begin with this scripture that's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 that says this, "In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor." So in a great house, there's vessels that are gold and silver. There's some that are wood and clay. Put it to you this way. There's some fine china, and then there's some paper plates, right? There's some fine china, and then there's some Tupperware bowls. Come on. There's some that are for special occasions, and then there's some for common, everyday use. And he words it this way, there's some that are for honor, and there's dishonor. But what these vessels represent are people. So we've got to ask ourselves, what kind of a person am I? Am I a vessel of honor, or am I a vessel of dishonor? And next week, I want to expand this out a little bit more, because those who became vessels of dishonor, there's examples of how not to live. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be an example of how to live, not an example of how not to live. You know, you can learn from different people. You can learn from some people's successes. You can learn from other people's mistakes, right? But God help us that we might become vessels of honor. And then look what it says. It says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." So I want us to see that we have a choice in what kind of vessel we are in 2019. The word is there is if you'll cleanse yourself. If you cleanse yourself, there's a cleansing. Now, we know that there's a cleansing that only Jesus can do, but there is a part of the process that we are involved in, and there is some cleansing. In other words, put it to you this way, there are some choices for us to make. There's some cleansing of ourselves that we can do. We have some choices. Now, the goal of this Vessels of Honor series is this, and that to describe there. Let me go back to that scripture. Go back to that scripture for just a moment. It says, vessels of honor, look at what it says sanctified. That word sanctified means to be set apart. That means as we are vessels of honor, we're going to be different. We're going to be set apart. We're not going to look like the world. We're not going to sound like the world. We're not going to behave like the world. We're not going to behave like regular common vessels. No, we are called to be vessels of honor, so we are set apart. And look, and useful for the master, and prepared for every good work. What I believe in 2019 is God has a good work for us to do. He has things for us to do. And what my desire is that when God looks down and he knows that there is a work that needs to be done, he knows there's a person that needs to be reached, he knows that there's a life to be rescued, he can look over and he can look into Cross Point Worship Center and he can find some vessels of honor that he has put strategically in different places and locations where he can reach down as the master. We are now useful to him. He can reach down and take us and use us to make a difference in somebody's life. So that we're not just some common paper plate, but no, for the master's use, it requires that we be vessels of honor. And I love this because I believe that God has something amazing for us to do this year. And I think what's important in order for us to see the kind of year that God wants us to see and fulfill God's purpose in our life and through our church, I believe it's important that at the beginning of this year that we present ourselves and we allow God to do a work in us, that we've truly become vessels of honor, and therefore we are sanctified, we are useful for the master, and we were prepared for every good work. Now, I want to take just a moment this morning to give us some foundational teaching on honor. I'm going to take it in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6 that says, "A son honors his father and a servant his master." And God says, if I'm a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. And he goes on to say, it is you, O priest, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? Now, this book of Malachi is a prophetic book, and God is speaking to a generation, but I believe he's also speaking into our generation. He's speaking to a group of priests that are a small group that are ministers. But yet, when we go into the New Testament, we see that there is a priesthood of all believers. So I just want to apply this scripture to all of us today. That God is speaking not just back in Malachi's day, but He's speaking to our generation today. And He's saying, where is the honor? And then He refers to this, and He says that you show contempt. Now, we know that word contempt. We hear it a lot when we hear of people being in court, and they, if they're not careful, they can be in contempt of court. So in other words, they are disrespecting the court. They're not giving the court honor. They're reducing down to a lower level, and so they're being irreverent in court. And we call that being in contempt of court. We do something that's in violation, that's disrespectful, that's dishonoring. So when the question is asked, how are we then in contempt? How have we shown contempt for your name? I think we've got to examine ourselves and take a moment this morning and just examine ourselves and be honest. Now, listen, this is a challenging message, but and it's challenged me. But we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts and see where we are with this and see if perhaps there's contempt in our life and some dishonoring that's going on. And I just believe in this generation, in this world, in this society that we live in today, this culture that we live in, there's a lot of dishonor. And we've lost this aspect of honor. We see it a lot in the younger generation, but I can tell you that the older generation is guilty too. I don't know whether it's a younger effect than the older or what it is, but there's a lot of dishonoring. I mean, it's almost like it's cool to criticize. You know, there's a difference between being a critic and being critical and having a negative, cynical, critical spirit about everything. And so we got to examine, because you see it everywhere. We see it. It's a part of our culture. I'm not telling you anything you're not aware of. We see it on the social media. We see it in conversations. We see it in our work environment. Yes, and we see it even at home. And can I add that sometimes if we're not careful, we'll see it in church. It'll show up there too. Where there's this disrespect, and where we've brought things that are to an equal level that should not be on equal levels. Now, we're all equal in the eyes of God, but there are some things that deserves more value than others. I think that we've lost some of that. And some of this may sound like old-fashioned preaching, but I don't believe it's old-fashioned. I just think it's biblical preaching. I just think it's good. You know, I think it's okay to show honor for one another. I think no matter who that is, we're to honor one another. In fact, the Bible talks about husbands and wives, that we're to respect one another. We're to submit one to another, it says. And I know we always hear the ones, wives submit to your husbands, but read on, guys. It goes on to say, submit to one another. It really does. I think that we need to honor one another. I'm sorry, excuse me. I may not be politically correct. I don't care about being politically correct. I'm more concerned about being biblically correct and not having the culture of the world, but having the culture of the kingdom of God. And I believe it's okay to honor women. I believe the Bible teaches that. I'm sorry, I will open doors for ladies. Ladies, you might get offended, but I'm going to open a door for you, okay? You know, and I got a feeling deep down inside you kind of really want that, and it's not that you don't want that, but it may be that you've stepped into a role that you're not supposed to be in because the men have neglected their role. All right? Am I making any sense here this morning? I'm just gonna preach my heart here today, but I believe that we need to get back to some honor. I believe now I'm going to show you as we develop and unpack this in the weeks ahead in this month. I believe I'm going to show you some things about honor that's going to reveal some things that's going to be amazing, because God through honor, He does amazing things. He shows up because of honor, and where there's dishonor, guess what? He doesn't show up. We're going to break that down. But I think we need to see what this would look like in our church, in our homes, in our life, in our business, at work. And it's challenging. I know it's challenging. There's times when it's always interesting to me. I was sharing with somebody that, you know, just in the last week, God put somebody back in my path that I had prayed that God would remove from my path. And now I got to preach on honor. You know what I'm saying? And I'm having to thank you, Lord. Now I got to deal with this, you know. I got to stand up here where I'm not sure if I really want to honor this person. And yet, God's word is still his word. And honor has to do not just with the other person and whether they are deserving of it. It has to do with our position in Christ. We're going to talk about that, okay? But what would it look like in our homes? What would it look like if we honored? I mean, and you say, well, that's just a Southern thing, opening doors and saying, yes, ma'am, and all those kinds of things. I don't think it's just a Southern thing. I think it's a Christian thing, right? Where we honor our government officials. It doesn't mean we have to agree with them, okay? Where we honor our armed forces. Malachi chapter 2, let me read on what it goes on to say. In verses 1 and 2 it says, and now this admonition is for you, O priest, if you do not listen and if you do not set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse upon you. Now let me explain that. I don't think the Lord just said, I'm going to curse you if you don't obey me. I think what he's saying is you're already cursed because, Jesus was sent to break the curse off of us. But you're in a curse. You're cursed yourself because you're not following God's principles in your life. Look, he says, I will send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessing. Yes, I have already cursed them. You're already cursed because you have not set your heart to honor me. Now look at this, set your heart. So we're not talking about behavior modification here. We're not saying, okay, we want you to do what God says to do and obey him just because he said to. No, we want a heart change. We want our hearts changed. Not out of obligation or duty or law, but because we love. Our heart is set on honor. There's two words in the New Testament it describes the word obedience. And one is basically, do it because I said so. That's a lot of times I'd hear my father tell me that, you know. Dad, but why? Because I said so, you know. Dad, I love you. I love you too. Now go clean your room and do it because I said so. You know, but there's another word there, and it's the word submission. And it's kind of, and we've kind of misinterpreted that word, but what it means is, it becomes the delight of your heart. It's something your heart submits. Your heart wants to. It's your heart is set on this thing of honor. And so he says, but there's a curse there, not because you're being punished, but because you're not following that. Your heart is not where it needs to be. Let me just, again, teach just a little bit more for just a moment on this idea of honor. In the Hebrew, the word honor is kaveh. In the Greek, it's timaio. And what it means is this, honor means of, it has to do with value or worth, or the word, write this down, weight. Weight. There's a weightiness to it. There's significance to it. It's like a weight of a boulder on a highway that's rolling down towards you and you're driving your car. You can say, well, I don't give that any respect. Well, guess what? That's not going to turn out too well if you don't respect that. But because you realize the weight of that, you put your brakes on, you respect that boulder coming down, you're not going to be crushed by that thing. Okay, honor has weight to it. Dishonor, on the other hand, is to take lightly. Write that word down, lightly. In other words, it's to remove weight from it. If you treat something as common or ordinary that should not be, you know, that's you're dishonoring that. Sometimes we do that in respect to people. We look at somebody that's got a lot of money or a lot of notoriety. Boy, we revere them. Oh, they just walked in the room. Everybody looks. Okay. But then somebody poor or somebody maybe possibly in your mind insignificant walks in and we don't give them the same attention. We do it in conversations. We're talking with somebody and it's somebody that's not really that important. And so we don't give them our undivided attention. We're texting while they're talking to us. I'm listening to you, but I got something I got more important I got to take care of. Come on. Anybody ever done that? I hate to say it, but I've done that before. Okay. So, but it's all about honor. Let me get a little bit further into this morning by giving you this scripture that's found in Mark chapter 6, where Jesus went to his hometown, and he was there accompanied with his disciples, and he began to teach in the synagogue, and many were amazed at his teaching and what they heard him saying, and they said, what's this wisdom that's been given to him that he even does miracles? They acknowledged that, but then they said, but is it this the carpenter? Is it this the carpenter's son? I mean, is it this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? He's just the kid down the street. You know, I mean, aren't his sisters here with us? And it says that they took offense at him. Look at verse 4. And Jesus said to them, only in his own hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he could not, look what happened, and he could not do any miracles, could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Now, if you were to look at what happens there, he actually goes to another place where they acknowledge who he was, and he heals everybody. He heals them all. How about you? But I need a miracle, and we need a miracle in this house. I need a miracle in my life, right? If you need a miracle, I want to give you something that's very important, and that is this thing called honor. We need to honor him and recognize who he is. So here he was. He was God. He was teaching. It was extremely important who was there, but they brought the one who should have been elevated to the highest place, and they lowered him to a common place. And notice what happened. God was limited by the attitude of the recipients, right? But the opposite can be true. What if the recipient was elevated? They elevated things and put in a position where they received more than they would have had. And I want us to see two things from this story. Number one, let me give you this very quickly. Number one, familiarity causes dishonor. Familiarity causes dishonor. Anything that we can bring and we just kind of make it equal and we get close to something close enough, we get accustomed, if we're not careful, it has the chance of receiving some dishonor. That word familiarity, the root word is family. And I think that's sometimes the greatest place of dishonor is within the family. Jesus, within his own town, had dishonor. He said only in his own house is he, anywhere else he'd have honor, but not within his own household. And it makes us kind of, it causes us to pause and think about that. Could it be that we don't have the honor, first of all, in our homes? Parents towards kids and kids towards parents. Do we have respect? When mom calls, does the kid say, yes, ma'am, and comes? You know, there's the response verbally, and there's the getting up and coming because mom's calling me. Or is there the what? I'll be there in a minute. I'm on level 13. I got to finish what I'm, you know what I'm saying? Is there honor in the house? I mean, think about it. This is an important topic. I think it's also true many times in the family we call the church family as well, if we are not careful. A new preacher comes in and we know there's the honeymoon stage, and he's the best thing since sliced bread. But after everybody gets close to him and find out he's just regular average Joe, whoever, then he's just stale bread. You know what I'm saying? It's all, you know, it's not crisp anymore. It's just, you know, whatever. I think if we're not careful, we treat church, you know, as just I better not use any names, but just your local convenience store, you know, instead of Ruth's Chris, right? We come in and we treat things commonplace. And I just want to say, I want Crosspoint to be a place where honor is a part of the culture. I believe it should be a part of the culture. I believe it should be in a conference. I think not only in Crosspoint, I think we should respect other churches. I get so upset when I hear preachers come in, guest speakers, we've had them in the past, they come in and they start demeaning other denominations. Not on my watch, not going to happen. Not if I can help it. Okay? Right? Come on, yeah. I mean, that doesn't help anybody. And we compare. I've heard young people compare and compete and belittle and you know, this one's not cool enough and this one's not suave enough and, you know, and are you wearing a jacket or are you wearing jeans? You know, I don't know. You know, we criticize and critique everything to the point we've just diminished everything down. Listen, there's a supernatural God that wants to do supernatural things. And yes, God chooses the common, ordinary, the base things of man. He uses the simple. He doesn't use the wise and the affluent, but he uses the simple. But the reason he does it is so that he'll receive all the glory. We may be commonplace, but he's not. And when we recognize his power and what he can do in us and through us, then we recognize and we open up and allow him to do those things that we need done in our life. I believe that we should be adding value. We should be building one another up. I just want to just take a moment to do it right now. I want to thank God for this, for this church. I'm so thankful. Listen, if you're watching online, I love this church. I get to pastor the greatest group of people. I got some of the greatest people around me. I got a phenomenal dream team around me. I've got leaders around me that help me, encourage me, and text me, and pray for me, and come on, and I'm praying for them, and together we're doing what God's called each of us to do. And let me just tell you, you guys are doing a phenomenal job, and I just want to encourage you, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't be weary and weak and well-doing. Listen, don't faint, because God's going to help us, and God's for us. Come on, everybody. I just think we need that kind of a culture. We need to encourage one another. Encourage one another. Be a lifter. Don't be a criticizer, and that's what. Hey, let me tell you what happens. Sometimes, when things aren't going well, we begin to start turning inward. Or if we're not catching enough fish off the bow of the boat, you start looking at the crew within the boat, right? And you start criticizing one another. And I don't see that happening. I'm just pastoring this church to say, let's not be that. Let's be the church that believes that God can do all things. And can I tell you that God sees great value in every one of us? He's chosen us with a specific purpose. We need to be able to see through the eyes of God and see that and recognize that in each other as well. Amen? So there's gold and silver that we need to see in each other. We're vessels of gold and vessels of silver. This isn't just a common place. This is a supernatural place. See, common brings the natural, but uncommon brings the spiritual, brings the miraculous. I'm hungry to see the miraculous. I don't want to reduce down and say, well, God, you can't do it here. You do it other places, but not here. Oh, yes, he can too, if we'll acknowledge him. So familiarity, two things I see in this story. Familiarity causes dishonor. But the second thing I see in this story is that offenses causes dishonor. Offenses. They were offended, it said, at Jesus. Can I tell you, you can never have honor that, you can never honor that offends you. If you're offended by government, and I'm not saying you have to agree, but you treat it at a different place than God calls you to. And yet Romans 13 says all authority under heaven is given by God. You can be disagreeable and respectful at the same time. Anybody know that's possible? That is possible. So the question of the day is this: how do we set our hearts to honor? I'm going to give you some first steps in moving towards it. Again, this is just a fundamental message about honor, but quickly I want to see what this looks like. First of all, write this down. Honoring begins with God's claim on them. In other words, it has nothing to do with whether they deserve it. It doesn't depend on whether they're Republican or Democrat or good parents or bad parents. Come on. This is not about your assessment of them. It's about God's claim on them. It's honoring is about how God views them. So it begs the question, how does God view them? Whoever that person is that needs to be honored. How does God view them? Well, God sees everyone as people he created, that he loves and that he died for. Right? So it doesn't have to meet your definition of whether that person has value. Come on, God says that person has value. So honoring begins with God's claim on them. Ephesians 5 and 21 says, submit to one another out of reverent fear for Christ. So this is a God thing. This is a spiritual thing. Quickly, number two, honoring benefits me. Honoring benefits me. Motivation is that, come on, the Bible has taught us to do this. So whether we agree with it or not. Now look at this. Mark chapter 6, Jesus says that he couldn't do many miracles there because they did not honor him. They did not recognize who he was. The next place they honored him, he healed all of them. I have heard John Bevere teach on this topic of honor and how he's went into the mission field and how such honor they give to those that come delivering the message. And the reason, and at first they gave him such honor, he's like, no. And the people around him that were from the area in that culture said, no, let them honor you. It's important that they honor you because, listen, if they don't have respect for you, they're not going to have respect for the message, right? So there was great honor. And the miracles he told that happened, and he said, I think the difference between why we see many miracles in other countries and we do not see them here in America is the difference is honor and dishonor. We honor God and we honor his word and we give it the full weight and the value in our life. It's going to bring the miraculous and God's presence and his work into our life. Amen? And so honoring benefits me too. Ephesians 6 says this, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So the only thing you see there that has a reward attached to it has to do with honor in the Ten Commandments. Come on. When it talks about, and that's what it's referring back to. Number three, honoring is decided, not deserved. It's what you decided in your heart to give someone. You can't just give honor to those who think you think deserves it. You must decide in your heart to give honor. So there's that honor test. And let me give you this scripture. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 2 that says, submit. In other words, it's a heart thing. Set your heart. Do it out of delight. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will. Everybody want God's will in 2019? It is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. In other words, the world is watching. The world's watching. So live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Verse 17 says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of the believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Vessels of honor. Vessels of honor. So we live this way out of delight, not out of duty. I want to take us right back, and I'm going to wrap this up, but right back to the very our theme verse is going to be the theme verse for this series. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says this, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, I'm going to expand that out. Next week I'm going to expand it out even more. But there's a verse before and a verse after that I want to read. The verse before says this. Verse 19 says, nevertheless, a solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I'm showing us how we can become a vessel of honor. It goes on, it bookends on the other side of that. It says, flee also youthful lust. Now, it mentions four things here. We're going to break this down through this series. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So the first thing I see in this is that, first of all, it says flee youthful lust. So there's some things that we need to turn from. First, we got to turn from some things. Second, we need to pursue some things. And it mentions four things. And the first thing it mentions is righteousness. Simply put, I'm going to just word it this way. We need to pursue God. And that's what we're going to do during these 21 days. We're going to pursue God with all of our heart. It all begins with him. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. When you seek God, it'll change everything. We sung it. We heard about it in our huddle this morning about when we seek God first, it causes the way we see things. We see things differently. We'll see the value in things. We'll see the weightiness. We'll see the presence of God. We'll see the value. Come on, we need to add value, right? How do we do that? By pursuing God, by seeking him. How do we do that? Well, we know how to do that, and that's through prayer and through fasting, right? Through prayer and through fasting. And it may be that you're just a little bit sluggish spiritually going into 2019. This is the season where all that's going to change, okay? Everything's going to change. And when we talk about miracles happening, this is the pathway. By letting some things go, turning from some things, pursuing God. And that's really what prayer and fasting is. Let me just take just a moment here just to lay this out. That's really what prayer fasting is. Prayer is connecting to God. Fasting is letting go of the world. It's connecting with that that's spiritual. It's letting go of those things that are unspiritual, those things that are carnal. The disciples were trying to cast out a demon out of a child, and they could not. Nothing worked. And they didn't understand why. And Jesus' response to them, I want to give you this, it's not in your notes, but in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus' response to them was, "O faithless and perverse generation." So two things he said, they didn't have faith and they were perverse. In other words, they were not connected to God well enough and they were too connected to the world. And that's the reason why you can't see the miraculous happening in your life. And he goes on to say in verse 21, "Howbeit this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." So in other words, that's the key to letting go of the carnal and to grab hold of the spiritual is through prayer and through fasting. What am I talking about? I'm talking about us becoming vessels of honor and pursuing God. And how do we pursue God? We pursue God through this time of prayer and fasting, of turning from some things and grabbing hold of God, turning loose of some things, letting go of some things, letting God remove some things from our life, and pursuing righteousness, pursuing God. We're going after Him with all of our heart. Amen? As I thought about this thing of prayer and fasting, I thought there's different elements of prayer, and one of the greatest elements of prayer is this element of praise. In fact, many scriptures will show you that really prayer should start with praise. It's acknowledging Him. It's giving Him honor. It's acknowledging how great is our God. It's opening up and praising Him. It's recognizing, instead of coming to God saying, "God, things aren't going well, and I'm pretty critical of how You're doing things in my life right now, God, and I'm just kind of," no, we're taking Him and we're saying, "God, I believe that You can do all things, and I give You honor. No matter what it looks like or seems like in my life, I give You honor and I praise You." I believe that prayer needs to start with praise. And let me just break that out. I believe it means praise for God. It means praise for Jesus and what He's done for us. I believe it's also praise for you. I praise God for you. So we need to praise God for what He's given us in our life. I thank God for a beautiful wife. I thank God for two handsome boys. I thank God for a beautiful church and leaders. I thank God for what He has blessed me with. And so what we're doing there in doing that is we're adding value. Instead of being critical and devaluing, come on, I'm tying this in here, we're praising. Come on, we're praising. And God allows us, as we're doing that, to see, you know who we need to, here's who we need. We need a new member in this church. His name is Seymour Good. Mr. Good. Seymour Good. You ever heard of that? Seymour Good. We need to see more good. Amen? And there's a lot of it to see. The devil just wants you to, he wants you to distract you with a few little bad things. Can we tell you, we need to see more good. How do we see more good? We need to see more Jesus is what we need to do. Amen? Okay. Excuse my preacher humor, all right? I'm a desperate man. I know I've preached as hard as I can deliver this, as fast as I can deliver this. But let me just conclude with this. I'm praying in 2019, God, have Your way. This attitude of surrender, this attitude of submitting to God, of setting our heart towards God, that's what happens through prayer and fasting. And we get this prayer that develops in that of, "Lord, have Your way." That kept coming to me all this week about, "Have Your way. Have Your way." Listen, when He has His way, it's going to be okay. When we have our way, I'm not so sure. But when He has His way, amazing things can happen. I want you to bow your heads with me for just a moment this morning. I want to encourage you. And a lot of you may not be able to honor others because, honestly, you may be not honoring yourself. Because you're living not the life that you need to live, and your life is actually covered up with guilt and shame, and so therefore you're not honoring yourself. And before you can honor someone else, you need to have honor for your own life. And today I just want to encourage you, God comes to you and he says, I'm able to cleanse you. I'm able to cleanse all that as you submit and as you surrender to me. I want us to invite the Holy Spirit to come inside us and cleanse us and make us whole. I want to invite us to ask Jesus to come in and take his rightful place. And maybe there's an area that's just become commonplace and it needs to be renewed. Maybe it's our prayer life. Maybe it's just somewhere in our relationships with him or relationship with others. But I want us to allow the Holy Spirit and to allow Jesus to come in by his Holy Spirit and to begin to renew. Come on, bring his value. Bring the weight of his presence, the weight of his love, the weight of his mercy, the weight of his grace into our life. I want to help lead you in a prayer today. If you're watching online, if you're here in this building, I want to lead you in this prayer. But if that's you and you say, Pastor, I need to put first things first in my life. I need him to come. There's some areas of my life that needs to be cleansed, that needs to be healed. I need Jesus to be Lord in some area of my life. I want to lead you in a prayer. If that's you today and you say, Pastor, and you pray, would you count me in that prayer? Would you just slip up a hand very quickly? Yes, good job. Yes, thank you. Watching online, I encourage you to join us. Come on, join me from your heart. Everybody for support, pray this out loud. Just say, thank you, God, for loving me, for sending your son for me, to die for me, that I could live for you. I surrender my life to you. I invite you to come in. Be the Lord of all. Take your rightful place. Sit on the throne of my heart. God, I honor you today by giving you my life. Thank you for forgiving me, for changing me. Lord, I'll follow you now with all of my heart as you help me. Today I declare you as Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Thank you for every person, God, who prayed that prayer, needed to pray it. God, I celebrate with them the best decision of their life. Now, Jesus, thank you for coming in, bringing your peace, bringing the weight of your love and your presence, God. Thank you, Lord, that there's more to life than getting up and paying bills and going through the motions. God, there's more to it than that. Lord, may we see the value of life. May we find the joy of living, God, as we follow you, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you that you are life and you're the fullness of life. God, help us as a church. God, help us to be a culture of honor, God, that we would, Lord, value you and we value lives around us, Lord, that we would make a difference for the kingdom of God. Lord, may this be a year like no other year. As we set ourselves today to be vessels of honor, sanctified, prepared and meet for and prepared for every good work for the Master's use. God, we'll give you all the praise, all the credit, all the glory, all the honor. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, Amen.